Every now and then on this podcast, we go looking for an idea for a special event like Halloween, and we go looking around and it turns out that it was right under our nose. We've been doing this podcast long enough, right, Marcus?
Absolutely. And there it was, right there.
And it wasn't even that far back. Ray Coop with
Marcus Goldman. Hello.
And this is a re-release, redux, whatever the hell you want to call it, of last year's Halloweeny roast. It's the Craps versus Type O Negative. So much fun. And your production points, just so silly. And that's what it's all about, like silly fun and candy at Halloween. So we figured, hey, it is Halloween. Let's just put out the episode that we put out last year that we really couldn't improve upon this year for Halloween. So,
ready, let's go.
It is your favorite season, Marcus. It's Halloween. Ooh, I like your evil laugh, dude.
Thank you.
It is the Halloweeny roast number two. Due. Dos. De. Whenever you get around to naming it in numbers, it reminds me of the Halloween movie season, right? And we just saw the whole series of Jason and Michael Myers movies just appearing, like, leading up to Halloween on TV. I just watched bunch of them.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was some terrible fucking shit, man. Terrible movie. At one point in the middle of the first Halloween movie, right, Marisa says, is the main body of the movie just him moving from place to place, hiding and killing all the kids? And I went, yes! And
it's always been that way.
Is there anything else on?
Yeah, you see all these movies starting to pop up all over the movie channels and the network channels and the cable channels over Halloween month or October, and it's wonderful. My favorite movie to see during the Halloween time period is Phantasm. It still to this day is one of my favorites, and Halloween 1 still scares the bejeez out of me. It makes me really uncomfortable and squirmy to this day.
Is it a coincidence that a new series about Chucky, the murderous doll, is being launched in Halloween season this year? I don't think so.
Man.
Look, some of those movies are fun. Some of them are more horrifyingly bad than a two-year-old bag of candy corn. Did you ever find something like that? Like old candy corn? And it's like rock, you know?
That stuff's got a half-life of like 235,000 years or something like that. Holy
End of
cow.
The world. Yep. The Roaches, Keith Richards, and candy corn. That's it.
But I tell you what, I know most people hate candy corn, but I really like candy corn. After Halloween season, I'm done with it, though. Quick little break, and then it's like, oh, too much later.
And then a year later, you find the remnants and decide, am I going to eat it or not?
Do it again. Do it again. Just like the Valentine candy hearts at Valentine's Day as well.
Yes, so. A year later. Well, we're off onto a different track already, talking about Halloween and Halloweenies and all that. And we thought we'd do something different this year to set up the Halloween season.
I'm excited by the fact that we are talking about these two bands who at one time or another may have scared people, but in actuality, they're not really that scary. They're both just really amazing bands, and both bands, while viewed maybe as scary, had one hell of a sense of fucking humor, man. These two bands that we're going to be talking about, the Cramps and Type O Negative, had senses of humor like nobody's business.
About themselves, about the music,
about the industry, about society, about so many things. And they just...
And the funny part is, especially on Typo's part, their music was so heavy and dark that you had to really know what they were saying to get some of the humor embedded in it. The Cramps, it was all like right on top, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Jive party time, man. Yeah. And a little crazy rockabilly thrown in, you know?
Oh, absolutely. The Cramps totally influenced by all of the old rockabilly artists. Going back to Eric Lee Perkheiser's early days in Stowe, Ohio, who is Eric Lee Perkheiser.
Yes, known, who is he?
He became known as Lux Interior, the frontman of the Cramps, and one half of the love story when we do a full breakdown overview of the Cramps that we will talk about, because the story of the Cramps is a love story. It's wild. Their logo is influenced by the early Tales from the Crypt comics.
You're going to love it. Seriously. I was doing my notes for this, you're going to love it. I was like you with your peachy folders.
Yeah.
I was drawing somewhere here in my stacks. I got it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Is that it? No, it's on the maybe I recycled it already. But it was like their logo. I was drawing their logo, and then like I was drawing Human Fly while I was listening to Human Fly and trying to draw what I thought the Human Fly logo would be. And I kept going down song after song on through the, especially on this one record, right? And I'm thinking, oh, Marcus would love it if there was video of this. But there's
absolutely
not.
He would love to see something like that. But Lux Interior, Eric Perkheiser grew up in Stowe, Ohio in the 40s and 50s. And they didn't have a lot of TV in smaller towns and suburbs in the Midwest. And for you to call the radio station in Cleveland, you had to pay the operator because it was long distance. You got billed from suburbs to city. Like, people have no idea. And the rotary dial.
Hang up right now. It's a toll call.
Exactly. Exactly that. They had to connect you to the operator sometimes to make sure that, like, the calls, you know, were billed properly. Like, it was wild. And at that time, some of the channels started filling time with these B-rated horror flicks from the 50s and 60s as he was growing up. And so that's what all of the kids in Stowe, Ohio watched. And then in 57, this guy named Pete Mad Daddy Myers was on the radio in Cleveland, and he was playing things like Dwayne Eddy and Link Ray and, you know, all of that rebel rock and roll mixed with the soul, man. The R&B. I mean, he also was a big Little Richard fan. He said that Tutti Frutti, and both he and Poison Ivy believed that Tutti Frutti completely changed the world because it was dangerous in the way that the other rock and roll songs weren't. And that's a word that keeps coming up. It came up in Guns N' Roses. It's come up so many other times. And anytime that word comes up, you know that music is great. So the Cramps, rockabilly, horror, early goth, whatever you want to call them or label them as, they're a straight rock and roll band. And when you listen to their sound, you will hear that straight rock and roll sound.
After 2 years of listening to you geek out about the Cramps, I finally dug in deep to those files you sent me a while back, and I went on to Spotify and started exploring. And I got to tell you, I'm glad you picked them as your side of the scary equation, but I found what you said right at the beginning. A lot of the stuff's just really cool music. But I found the, and I'll take a picture of it and post it so you can see how I got the Cramps logo there.
Yeah, like, there it is.
And there's the one. Oh, right underneath it, it says Human Fly. See it? Can you see that one?
I don't know if you can make that out. I can see it.
But that's, I used to do that when I was a kid in school too. But I put it right onto the, I had the blue denim type folder, and I would just draw right on there. Man, that pissed mom off. Anyways, but so what we're going to do, you brought up the Cramps, a band you love. And then I'm going to give you my scary honorable mentions. How's that work?
That sounds good. And then I'll tell you my five favorite scary Cramp songs.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
All right. Both of mine are, there's two of them, and they're both on that amazing debut album, which I can say because I listened the other day and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting my Marcus Digsies guy so much because it also reflects who you are musically. Okay. But the album, the songs The Lord Taught Us, which I find is very funny, there's two songs. One qualifies, well, these two qualify because they have scary content. One is Zombie Dance, which is also a pretty damn cool song. But the winner, I guess, for my honorable mention of the Cramps is I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Woo!
Ah.
Hey, that was a pretty heinous evil laugh. It must be Halloween-y.
It's totally Halloween-y.
Voices on my face. I was a teenage werewolf, and no one even said thanks, and no one made me stop. I had a two-man mind. I had to blow my make me stop. No, it can make me stop.
It's Halloween, October's time of the month. And what are your creepy crawly five from the crumbs?
Starting at number five, because I think everybody would be scared if you ran into a situation where this occurred. Bikini girls with machine guns.
Woo!
Well, I've been a drag racer on LSD. Hey, I rode bare-assed on top of the Sphinx. I even had a gorilla on the slopes of Kismet. And man, that was fun for a while, you bet. But bikini girls with machine guns. Bikini girls with machine guns. Oh, this stuff will kill you. It's loaded with fun. Bikini girls with machine guns.
And if you are afraid of anything BDSM, you might want to stay away from this next song, The Creature from the Black Leather Lagoon.
You better ask my mama how to make a monster. I'm the creature from the black leather lagoon. And I'm a beautiful monster from outer space too. Learn how to shake my hips in the sanctum.
And number three might be the drink you have if you go to a bar on Halloween. Eyeball in my martini.
I went out to eat the other night, picked up my girl at eight. In my soup I found a fly, but there behind my place was an eyeball in my martini. A highball with a twist. One in my linguine too, I said there's something wrong with this.
God, the thought of it. I was thinking of what's the movie where they're making the soup and the eyeball pops up? And I can't think of it. It's one of those great movies, comic movies with horror in it. Speaking of which, there's a new Addams Family, kind of like the way animated.
Really?
Yeah, but I've just been seeing little bits of it on football game commercials. But hey, look, it's all about what's happening this season. And that's why we're doing this podcast, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I saw it the other day.
That's wild.
So where do we leave off? Did we lose your number two?
I have number my three. Number. No, we stopped at number three, Eyeball in My Martini. And number two, Devil Behind the Bush.
Well, there's a devil behind that bush. Yeah, there's a devil behind that bush. With wiggle and dance, get me out of my pants. A devil behind those fiery lips. I was scared stiff. That devil behind. Just one peek got me rattled. Up the creek without a paddle. A devil behind. Ooh, there's a devil behind that bush. Pointy wig and tail. What an evil female. Devil behind.
Well, I definitely can think of two innuendos, and that's the front and back. And well, we'll just stop right there.
And don't forget the religious aspect as well.
Well, I didn't even think of that.
So there's
I'm thinking
three.
Scary. I'm thinking things that are scary. The devil behind the bush. I'm taking it literally, I guess, too. You know? Does he have a pitchfork?
A trident.
Is he riding a Harley? Yeah. Is he got the crazy wild psychobilly hairdo? I don't know. What does the devil look
and
like?
Maybe a leather Harley? Jacket.
What costume is he wearing?
Oh, we'll find out this year.
And your number one scary hairy cramp song for this Halloween-y, Marcus?
Harry would definitely fit in there because if you were to run into a human fly, it would be a pretty hairy, scary creature.
Yes. With lots of eyes staring yes. at you.
When I'm a human fly, I spit it in a while. I say buh-buh-buh-buh, and it's just because I'm a human fly, and I don't know why. I got 96. Tears, 96 eyes, I got a garbage brain that's driving me insane. And I don't like a ride, so push that nest aside. And baby, I won't care, cause baby, I don't scare. Cause I'm a reborn maggot using gym warfare. Right.
And also, Poison Ivy's guitar tone is absolutely unbelievable in there.
So, now we have it. Your scary five from the Cramps and my honorable mentions. But, you know, we've been sitting here in these costumes, and we have to let the audience know how we decided to choose our costume for this Halloween-y celebration. I'll go first. He was my first concert, one of my first favorite interviews I ever did, and I just saw an image of Alice Cooper with a couple other scary superheroes like King Diamond, and I just thought, that's the perfect Alice makeup, and that's my costume, Alice Cooper, for this Halloween-y.
Excellent, Mr. Cooper.
And we're still not worthy, right?
And would you like to play a round of golf in your costume?
Sure, why not?
Dude, that's the golf tournament to do for Alice Cooper. You have to dress like Alice Cooper in makeup and play a round of golf.
Everybody dresses Alice.
Dude,
at least
so
your makeup and hair.
Makeup and right? hair and a hat, and you have to have the full attire. You have to wear an Alice Cooper-like
extra
costume.
Extra points for a boa constrictor. Yeah, 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 I'm seeing it. All right, well, we're making a note. That could be our first big celebrity outing for the podcast.
Bingo.
Famous okay. Toby Mamus, are you listening? And Marcus? I'm standing here with the whip in my hand and the boa around my neck is Alice Cooper. And what is your costume, my friend?
My costume this year is a costume that was chosen by our son again for all three of us to dress up as, and that is a vampire bat. We are all vampire bats this year.
Oh, nothing makes Halloween seem like a little more fun than ABV. Let's just say that. And the guys at Crooked Eye, they know how to chalk up the ABVs when it comes to making a good brew or anything else. So let's head to Crooked Eye, and then we'll come back, and we'll see the other side of this scary coin on the Halloweeny Roast number two. So much has been happening this year and changing at Crooked Eye Brewery, our sponsor for a long time now, Marcus. Since 2014, they've been pouring the cure for what ails you, but then they added craft cocktails, then they added ciders, and recently they opened the Crooked Eye Kitchen and Salty Vets Barbecue being served at the premises. You used to have to bring something with you, not just bring your appetite.
The long-term business plan of Crooked Eye has been very smart. Whatever they were going to do before the pandemic had to change drastically, and they've made the adjustments. And as we've slowly opened up, they've slowly continued to add and add and create more. And it's much to the delight of the people going in there all the time, because like you've said, every night's a party, a different kind of party over at Crooked Eye. It's
and
a random party.
What the music is, like the Blues Jam or the second Tuesday of the month with my vinyl night, which is anything you want it to be. the Crooked Eye Band and all the other performers who make it fun, Mafia, all performing. Check it all out. And the way to find out about who's playing when is on their Facebook. That's really the best way to keep up, but the website too, I guess.
So if you're looking for a place to go, make a plan, grab a friend, meet at Crooked Eye in the heart of Hatboro, serving you since 2014.
It's fall, and I know, Marcus, that you've got a ton of anecdotal stories about your feet and riding and running and all that stuff that you do in the fall. And I know Boldfoot socks are part of your regimen, right?
Absolutely. They wick moisture off your feet and keep them dry. I do wear the Boldfoot socks when I bike, and never, ever have I had swampy feet. And I've ridden on almost 100-degree heat index day, and my feet weren't
this
swampy.
So, right?
Yeah.
Whew.
I really like what they do. And another bonus is they're American made.
Boldfoot Socks is a company that Josh got into because he did a 100K thing. Who has time for that, man? He's amazing. So he goes and does his 100K in these Boldfoot socks, and the socks perform so well, he believes, and he's right, that these socks are really going to revolutionize footwear for people who work out and ride, especially someone like you who rides a lot on their bike.
And let's not forget, Josh did that like 100-mile run in the Nevada desert. That is gnarly and tough. And he donates portions of his sales to military charities, which is awesome.
So go check out their amazing variety of colors and styles. Great socks. And you can find them all at boldfoot.com. Thanks to them for their support of the podcast. As always,
Boldfoot socks, American grown, American sewn.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey, are you bleeding?
Yeah. What?
Are you bleeding?
I might be.
You might need a transfusion. There's a lot of blood spatter everywhere. What blood type do you have?
Type O. Negative. Is this the right place?
It is.
This is Halloween roast number 2.
It is.
I miss my friend Peter Steele. I know you love him too. He was a great guy.
Super amazing guy.
Yeah. Like, a little intimidating at first. And then you got to know him, and he was supremely cool. I remember seeing them at the Theater of the Living Arts in Philly on South Street. And after the show, he was hanging around. He was serving everyone beverages. May I prefer you a beverage? And he'd go to get it and bring it to people. And he was like the host with the most. And it's not something you would see backstage at most concerts. If you saw anything like that, it surely wouldn't be the singer from the band serving you your post-show beers. and he was incredibly friendly. At that show, I took my daughter, who is now in her 40s, and she was like so intimidated because I think he was the first rock star that she looked at and went, you know what I mean? When you're a teenager, whether it's a woman or a guy, there's somebody who makes you go, And I don't think that it hurt that his Playgirl spread had come out recently before that.
Plus, he's 6'8", and with long, flowing, dark hair.
Reminding one of Lurch.
And a deep baritone voice.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That can be very intimidating to people who don't know him or don't have never met him before.
Yeah. Very true. So I thought it would be great because they don't get enough love, and they're certainly a band that I wish was still with us, that still had music to make, mm-hmm. and that Peter was still with us. So let's celebrate the gloomy, doomy, beautiful music of Type O Negative in this episode of The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll, our Halloweeny roast number 2. So I did my honorable mentions, and you did your creepy crawlies from the Cramps. Yeah. What is your honorable mention, oh, he who did an extensive interview with Peter Steele?
I still pinch myself every once in a while when I think about that interview with Peter Steele. It seems like it was totally surreal. I called his home phone number. He answered with something like, Joe's moratorium, you stab him, we slab him. And I was like, and I totally panicked. It was like 2007 as Dead Again was coming out.
You never know when an artist is going to put you on like that at first just to see how you react.
Yep.
You know?
And I was like, hello, is Peter there? And I totally froze. And he's like, this is he. And I'm like, hi, this is Marcus from WMMR. And at first, I was like totally taken aback, but it warmed up right away. And if you hear the interview on our website, imbalancehistory.com, you'll hear that it ended up warming up quickly. And I ended up taking 30 minutes out of the interview because we ended up talking about our father's passing away and the impact that it had on us. And it seemed so personal that I didn't feel comfortable sharing that personal without
him. Do you feel
him.
Better about sharing it now? Because maybe you could put that in and include it on our website.
Let me pull up that segment, edit it, clean it up, and see if I can do that. And maybe we'll do that as well. So
with or without it, you can find that interview for perspective on our website, imbalancehistory.com. We're trying to do more accompanying blogs like that when we can.
Yes. And Peter Steele, just an amazing human being. We ended up talking a few more times after that, and I wish I could find the MP3 of the message he left on my cell phone voicemail that was absolutely over the toply great and amazing. Marcus, this is Peter. I'm downstairs. If you don't answer the door, I'm going to come upstairs, kill you, and fuck your girlfriend. Call me back when you get a chance, Peter. And I just was like crying, laughing. My wife laughed because she had heard the interview, and she thought he was really funny. I'd seen him a few times live at that point and then saw him again on the Dead Again tour, I think, which was at the Trocadero Theater. And, oh, man, just what a really amazing human being. And sincere and honest and real.
And nice. A really nice guy, too.
Genuinely nice.
All right. Well, now that we've both espoused our love of the big lunk and how much we miss him, for your portion of the after birthday party, what do you got?
I've got
for the honorable mention
I've
for
got
typo.
Two. Everything Dies from 1999's World Coming Down and Kill All the White People. Yeah. Because if there's one that shows Peter Steele's sense of humor, it's a song like that one for sure. And it's one that
you're singing
people...
it at a show and you're singing those words and then you're just looking around to see if anybody notices what the fuck you're saying, right?
Yep.
That's fun.
And their sense of humor is insane. And they were wild practical jokers on tour. So now that I have mentioned my two honorable mentions, Ray, it is time for us to hear your top five typo negative scary songs.
My creepy curly five from Typo starts at number five. No, not with black number one. It's only a hair color, for Christ's sake. Number five is Kill You Tonight. And this one might be more obvious to everybody if you're a fan of Typo. At number four, I put in Everyone I Love Is Dead. And as we get older, it starts to feel more and more like the truth. Everyone I love is dead. Everyone I love is dead. Here on the Imbalance History of Rock and Roll, Halloweeny Roast number two. We're in the second half talking about Typo Negative's five scariest, right? And this one's so obvious. The cover's obvious, right? There's the inference of vampiric sephotic love with bloody kisses, a death in the family.
A crimson pool.
Second part, that really makes it more gory and scary. And then number two, other than the surface of the words, if you really listen to the textures and tones and the underlying everything on Christian Woman, man, it's that moment where I wondered if he was a vampire, the way he delivers those words.
It's funny because he can scare the daylights out of you and still be super sexual at the same time. And it's a wild combination to wrap your head around, but it works in every way.
The thing was, they knew what they were doing. if you really were into it, chances are you at least got that there was a cheeky nature to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you just totally dug the music, which was fine as far as I was concerned. And the majority of the fans, that's probably it. But people who were friends with them or worked closely with Mark and everybody at Roadrunner when it came to this album, or Monty, there was so much love with these guys. And the thing was, that was great, was they gave it back to the people who were their supporters out there, to whatever level or degree it was. They just had a good time with it. So, and that brings me around to our very scary number one on the typo side of the equation here. And I think I'm winning this thing, if there is any such thing as winning on Halloween. As long,
really?
Does that mean I get the good candy, Daddy?
Yeah. Really?
And number one, you're going to be jumping up and down. Oh, yes, Master.
Yes, master.
When I say our number one is the whole damn Slow, Deep, and Hard album. Stick out the vinyl, drop the needle, any spot. It's amazing, and it's pretty scary stuff in the sonic realms.
If you think about it, it is. It's got that hardcore punk from the Carnivore and the previous days, and it also gives you a chance to see what Typo Negative was evolving into, and the vindictiveness in Peter Steele's lyrics are insane. He is so pissed off in those lyrics.
That was them bringing it all into focus. And even within the long form songs, there were parts that stood out. Some people would just play the part leading into and out of it, right? Or they would pick a segment that they liked. It made it harder even for the metal guys and gals who hosted shows to get in, because most of the cuts were actually, you know, pretty damn long on the first one. But it indicated where they were going, like you said. And it showed that the way that things would go, and that it was going to be a dark, scary ride. And that's why they're right in the middle of our Halloweeny roast. And that's why that album is, and the pictures that associated to the graphics are classic. And that's why it's my number one out of the whole Typo realm, so to speak.
What a great discography. And we both recommend you listen to their discography. At some point, we will do a complete breakdown and overview of Typo Negative. Their importance in music is monumental, just like the Cramps. Their importance in music is so huge. And like, another thing you should check out with Typo Negative is all the wild covers that they do. They've tongue-in-cheeked some of those covers and changed the names of them, like Hey Pete,
played with the words.
Yep. Hey Pete instead of Hey Joe. They did a wild tongue-in-cheek version of Summer Breeze, and
I love that. In fact, it was almost part of my scary thing, because if you were a Seals and Cross fan and you heard that, it would have scared the shit out of you.
Absolutely. And the original one that they sent to the Seals and Crofts was so, like, obnoxiously sarcastic that Seals and Crofts were like, no, you can't use it. We'll let you do a straight cover of it, only you can't use this wild version of it.
I would love to see that letter.
I would love to see that letter as well, or hear that phone call between Seals and Crofts and the record label. But they've done a lot of Beatles stuff. They've done some Sabbath covers. They're heavily influenced by Sabbath and the Beatles.
Yeah, they were on the NIB record, yeah.
So, yeah. Also, Kraftwerk was another one of their influences. So they've been influenced by many of the same bands that we have, and they've just bent the blues to their own doom and gloom.
Typo, the Cramps, on the Halloweeny roast here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. We got a couple nice emails this week. I wanted to get into the mix here, if you don't mind. Anthony Marinaccio said, I just want to say you guys do a great job, and this has become one of my favorite podcasts. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
I'm an armchair rock and roll archaeologist, and I appreciate the history. And you know what? We were in the rocking chair, and we decided to get out of it and get together regularly and put together this podcast. So that's kind of the beginning point for a lot of people who end up doing more than just listening to the music. But by the way, if you're going to do that, being in the armchair is a good spot if you're going to enjoy all the rock and roll. That's all I'm going to say. Got another one here from Carl Bondi. He says, hey, guys, really enjoy your podcast. Stumbled on it a couple months ago, and I think I'm all caught up now. He says, I'm an auto worker, so I spend most of my day consuming podcasts and playlists. Among others, I really enjoy podcasts about music, follow you guys, also the ongoing history of new music, MTV's Behind the Music, 60 Songs Heart-Shaped Pod, etc. My question is, do either of you listen to any of the other podcasts out there that you recommend? I did send him a note. I don't know if you saw that. Tell him about our friends here on the Pantheon Network, and also reminding about Vinny and Carmine's podcast and the Pantera Drag the Waters and all. There's just a ton of great music podcasts out there. And I would say to anyone that's looking for other stuff, the PantheonPodcast.com network. Just go to PantheonPodcast.com and you'll see where we're in there in the whole mix of things. And there's a lot of great podcasts there. It's a good spot to start. So thanks to Carl for checking in. He says, thanks a lot for your show. Keep up the great work. Cheers from your northern neighbor. He doesn't say it, but I'm guessing he's from Canada, eh?
He's getting into toque season because it's getting cold up
there.
Oh,
yeah. Fan mail from some flounder.
I can't wait to wear all my toques.
Well, you won't have to wait very long, even here in the southern portion of the Great White North. And if you got anything you want to add to today's conversation or anything you hear while you're listening through, like Carl, make sure you send us an email at imbalancehistory@gmail.com.
You can also respond on our social media at the Imbalance History of Rock and Roll on Facebook, Twitter at Imbalance Histo, and of course Instagram, the Imbalance History of Rock and Roll.
Well, we hope you have a very scary, fun Halloween, and that you check the kids' candy before you steal your share, Mom.
We're there now.
Yes, you guys are. I'm sorry, Eric. You're allergic to peanut butter. So Dad has to confiscate all the Reese's cups. It's true. It's not. I would compensate by giving extra what he liked, you know, that he could eat.
That's so funny.
Ah, yes. Well, you guys have fun in your family costume. I'm saying that the Vegas line is only two out of the three will be in the costume. For some reason, something will change. And that's reminding me of last year when you ended up not wearing the captain's costume or whatever it was you were wearing. Hey, Halloween, man, it's a crapshoot. I mean, you got kids. You got to be prepared to get into the big beast suit and wear it for 2-3 years running if that's what the little princess, the little beauty wants. So that's what happened with Lauren when she was little. 2, 3, 4. I was the beast.
That's so cute.
I still have, that's the thing is, I still put the thing on every Halloween, Mark. It's getting a little weird for Marisa. You know what I'm saying?
Do it in cram style and become the BDSM beast.
All right, let's wrap it up. All right, grab that candy for me. I'll take the popcorn balls. And we'll say we'll see you the next time we do this crazy podcast. I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And this has been the Halloweeny Roast number 2 on the Imbalanced History of
Rock and Roll. Woo!
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.